This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Man, we are going to rejoice in this last day and rejoice in 2024. We have to be ready. We have to be. Things are going to come against us, and we have to be prepared to handle them. You know, I'm trying to cut back my YouTube time. It's a struggle and a challenge because I found a new thing that I like watching, and it's some court cases that go before judges. And I watch some of the crazy people out there. And one of the ones I watched recently was a road rage incident. I need to slow down. I was thinking of my brother Dwayne, and he said, "Why are you yelling at that car? Do you think they care? Do you think they..." No, they don't. And I've gotten so much better at that. But there was this lady involved in a road rage incident, and they both exchanged some various words and gestures. And she said, "I cut the lady off and she started cussing at me, so I smacked her." Judge said, "Well, I don't think that's a very good thing to do." She said, "No, it wasn't. She should have just shut her mouth." She missed the point. By the way, in the end, she went to jail. Why? There were consequences for her action. And the judge said, "You're not getting it. You blame everything on her. By the way, you say that the police were called, but you say you called the police. But you didn't stick around and wait for them." She said, "No, I got out of there. I was in a car that wasn't authorized to be on the roads." He said, "Oh, lady, you're in bigger trouble." So I pray that we have an awareness of our opportunities before us. I pray that we are aware of tests that come before us. And researching, I'm talking about awakening in 2024. And in researching this, it talked about, usually when we talk about biblical or spiritual awakenings, hundreds, if not thousands, of people are changed through large events. Okay, I don't see that happening today with hundreds or thousands. It can happen through Jesus Christ, but I just don't see it happening. So I thought, that's not the spiritual awakening I'm having. I don't want to have a tent out in the parking lot and say, "I have to have a revival." What I'm talking about is right here, prayer of faith. Those watching on Facebook, you see, you count too, and you matter also. You don't get to hide behind the computer and not behave the way Jesus wants you to, so I'm talking to you as well. But I'm talking about a spiritual awakening within these four walls, within this body of believers. Adam, I've accepted Christ. That's great. I love it. I love it in Christianity when we talk about awakenings. Again, even the Bible talks about large groups of people. They were all changed. They were transformed. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. We'll get right into the message today. And we're going to look at an awakening that happened. Acts, just after the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, it says Peter is standing at verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And we're going to go through verse 39. We're going to the end, folks. Almost the end. And it says, Peter was standing up with the 11, and he raised his voice and he said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." Church, he's saying, "Listen up. I'm speaking. Listen to me. I've got something important to say. For these are not drunk." These people, remember, because of what happened, people thought, "Oh, these disciples that were waiting are drunk." He says, "They're not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath." Let me read that verse one more time. Sometimes we pass over that pretty quickly. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of Jesus or on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me stop there for just a minute. If you have not called on the name of Jesus, you're missing the boat. You are not saved. I don't care what other religions teach or speak, but it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the only way that you're going to get into heaven. But I'm a really good person. That's great. I appreciate that also. There are a lot of good people out there in the world that have not called on the name of the Lord. And I think many of them will be shocked and surprised on Judgment Day when they stand before God. And they try and say, I've done all these things. And he says, I appreciate that, but you missed out on one important thing. Church, it is important that we get out and tell people, this is the only way into heaven. This is life-changing. It doesn't change you from facing problems, trials, tribulations. The Bible tells us multiple times in multiple places we will face those. I mean, we have to be real about that. But he says, I will teach you how to handle those things, and I will be with you when you go through those things. But this is the only way you're getting into heaven. Men of Israel, verse 22, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know him. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, you have crucified him, and you have put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, now listen up, it says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Where do I find joy? In his presence. Giving your life to Christ, you will find joy in that. You will find joy in his presence. We talked a couple weeks ago about some people haven't found it. Some people have found it, don't know what to do with it. Some people have found it and gone out and shared it with other people. When the angels came to announce the birth of Jesus, I bring you tidings of great joy. Hark, the herald angels sing. These are things that we should be telling people throughout the year. We don't have to wait till Christmas and say, hey, there's a special gift for you. It's the gift of Jesus Christ. We can tell them next week, next month. We can tell them in March. We can tell them in June. We can tell them anytime. The idea and purpose is that we tell them, you will make me full of joy in your presence. Then he goes on and he says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of the body, according to the flesh, he would be raised up to Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God had raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Remember, this is Peter talking to the crowd after they said, oh my gosh, these people are drunk. Look at what's happened before this. And it says in verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He goes on in verse 36 and says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God made him Lord and God made him Christ. He is both. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Some of you, as you talk to people about Jesus, may say, I don't know what to do. Jesus responded to them and said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins or the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Man, I love that. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I love that. A great awakening, 3,000 souls added. Last I checked, we don't have 3,000 people in here. I don't think we have 3,000 watching us on Facebook. But can a soul be added? A lost soul could. I'm thankful for the 3,000. And by the way, it didn't take long for that to turn into millions of followers. I mean, a couple hundred years, but millions of followers. But again, my awakening that I want each of us to experience is individual. Jesus is calling each one of us just as he called the thousands. I've already accepted Christ, Adam. And I love that. What are you doing with that? I've accepted Christ. Great. What are you doing with that? I accepted a job. Great. What are you doing with that? Well, I didn't show up for work. Okay, are we showing up? I expected something for nothing. I didn't go to work. But I showed up to get a paycheck. They were shocked and surprised. Said, I don't have a paycheck for you because you didn't show up. Oh, okay. So great. When you accept something, what are you doing with it? I'm talking about a sacrificial giving. Oh, dang, he's fixing to talk about money. Not necessarily. I'm talking about sacrificial giving. I'm talking about an individual awakening. I'm talking about a sacrificial awakening, a spiritual awakening. We sacrifice for the sake of our family, for our children. We sacrifice for our homes so we have a nice home. We sacrifice for vehicles. We sacrifice for possessions that we can have stuff. We sacrifice for vacations. But why do we not sacrifice for the church? Why are we always last in line? Today's the last day of the year. You want to make a sacrificial gift to the church? Go right ahead. We got a little more than 12 hours to do it. Why not sacrifice for the church? Okay, let's get past money. Sacrifice your time and your effort. Sacrifice your thought process. Be here. You have not experienced, listen carefully, an awakening without hunger. You have not experienced a spiritual awakening unless you have been hungry for that spiritual awakening. Hunger for passion, for desire, for His Word, and listen carefully, and His lifestyle. No, I'm not talking about you got to go wear a robe and sandals and whatever. I'm talking about His lifestyle of caring for others before Himself. Possibly showing some people some joy every now and then. Okay, if your face can't show it, at least let your words show it, okay? Show some joy to people. Show some people some peace. Give some people some peace sometimes instead of a hard time. Give them some hope. Again, Eric spoke last week about before we knew Christ, we walked in darkness. But then we had light. He says, we don't have to walk in the past like we did before we lived in darkness. Give people some hope. But most of all, when you experience this from Jesus Christ and you want an awakening, you will find this and experience these and be able to show these to other people. Why? Because you've had a hunger and you dug in His Word and it told you what to do. Dang it! I didn't want to love my neighbor. He's so mean. Dang it, that family member really upset me. Love them. Love them, but I'm telling you, you have not experienced a spiritual awakening if you didn't have a hunger and a passion for His Word and for His lifestyle. Because those are the things that drive us to have an awakening. I'm faithful, I'm religious, I do all these things, but I just, you know, I don't belong to a church because I don't believe. That's great. Are you experiencing Jesus Christ in these ways? Are you just saying that so you don't have to go someplace or give to someplace? Bible study. Can't make it on Wednesday nights. I get it. Lots going on. But are you studying that Bible any other day of the week? Other than I bring it on Sunday, Adam said go to Acts chapter 2, and guess what I did? I opened it and I followed right along, and I really got something out of his message. I hope so, but in the off chance that you didn't, are you doing Bible study outside of that if you don't come to be a part of a group? Are we doing something to awaken our spiritual life? We're still awake or still asleep. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. It's interesting because I believe some of us are still asleep. And I believe some of us are similar to the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. And I love this because a woman knows the Messiah. She knows about Him. Some of you may know about the Messiah, but again, what are we doing with that? It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did. Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. John chapter 4, verse 7 says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him,
How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus knew that, and he responded to her and says, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Then the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus responded to her and said, I who speak to you am he. And I love that. He has revealed himself to her as the Messiah. She had been worshiping. Now she stands in front of the Messiah and doesn't realize it. But he revealed himself to her. And that is what I am praying for us. That God comes down in the form of Jesus and he reveals himself to each and every one of you and me. You see, I come here week after week, Adam, and I praise and I worship him. And I know he's coming. Oh no, he's here. I who speak to you am he. I love that he revealed himself to her. Now, further on in John chapter 4, verse 39 through 42, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. Remember when we talked about the shepherds? God sent his angels down, revealed this to them. They said, oh, we better talk amongst ourselves. Hey, we better go check out this thing that the angels told us. And said they went. And they told all kinds of people when they had seen Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And they told all these people. And so many people believed, many people heard, and they went back to the fields rejoicing and worshiping. This says the same thing. She went to the city, believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. She went and told many people about what had happened. And because of her testimony, they believed. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. They had an awakening. They had an experience with him. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now we can believe because of the word of others, and that's great. But he says, "I really want you to experience me personally. I want you to get it for yourself, what I have to offer you." That's great to do it in hundreds and thousands of people. But he said, I want you to have that experience. Luke chapter 3. Let's turn over there. Luke chapter 3. As we experience Jesus, and as we have our awakening because of an encounter we had, there's yet other encounters. Luke chapter 3, verse 7 through 17. And it says, this is John preaching to the people. And it says, "Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.'" We've got to bear good fruit. So the people ask him, saying, "What shall we do then?" Now listen carefully to the responses. He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Then to the tax collectors also came to be baptized, and asked the same question, "What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Now, as the people were in expectation, church, they came with an expectation. As the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." What I love about this is they had an awakening. John is preaching to them. They came and said, "What must we do?" And he said, "Hey, guess what? You have a different, more sacrificial lifestyle to live than the others." Yes, their life is one of sacrificial living now. You have two tunics? Give one away. "I want to take more money than is due me. Take only what is due you." Sacrifice that extra stuff, the greed that consumes so many people. The soldiers, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. Now I have to sacrifice possibly what my boss wants me to do, what the leaders or what the others do." By the way, be content with your wages. When we have an awakening, we become aware of a different lifestyle that he has for us. And it's sacrificial living. It's a lifestyle that says we've got to be different. It's a more selfless lifestyle. I focus on Jesus. focus on God. I focus on others. Oh, so when I have this awakening, it becomes less about me. You know, our Advent reading a couple weeks ago was from Isaiah 60. And it said, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light." Verse 5, "Then you shall see." Then you shall see. You shall have an awakening and see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. He tells us it's time to wake up. Arise, shine, for the light has come. No more sleep, no more darkness. I want to read this out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. And it says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled," listen carefully, church, verse 3, "but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He tells us right here that the light of Jesus Christ is what's going to save people. And it's what we have to take to other people. He tells us, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be light in a dark world. A light to shine out of darkness, who has shown into our hearts an awakening. I better wake up and open my heart and open my mind to different thoughts. "Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You know, Ben, if you'll come up here. Ben, yeah, come on up, Ben. Ben Kelly, whose family and him used to come here to Prayer of Faith, he's going away for a while. No, not to prison. Ben's in trouble. No. Ben is going to do mission work. He's not going away for a week. Ben, do you want to tell him just briefly where you're going, what you're doing? Excellent. Thank you. I was hoping you'd say yes.
Yeah. So just quickly speaking, I will be spending just about the next 2 years out in Madagascar. I'll be working as a missionary there, stationed in the capital city, but doing a lot of work around the island, reaching people groups that have never heard of the gospel before, and being one of the first persons to share the gospel with them, and setting up a foundation and blazing the trail for future missionaries to be able to come in, both missionaries from U.S. around the world, but also praying for local Malagasy believers to be able to go around their own island and be sharing the gospel with their own people.
That is a powerful thing. Well, I thought, you know, it's 2 years going to dark places
And yet here's a man that said, I'm going to answer that call. And I'm going to take the light of Christ and I'm going to tell people about that. And Ben has a card. And it has Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I love that. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Ben asked for us to pray for him, and I asked him to come and allow us to pray over him. And he's here. And I want us to pray over Ben and his work and his safety and his protection and all those that are going with him and those that are sending him and those that are joining us in prayer over him. This is the light of Christ. This is the joy of the Lord. This is peace, taking peace to other people. This is a man taking hope to a lost generation, a lost continent, a lost group of people. And he has chosen to answer that call. Ben has had an awakening. And he's answering that call in 2024. Ben, we're going to pray over you, and then we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song, The Blessing. How appropriate that we get to sing this song over you and your work and the work of Christ. And I want to tell you from Prayer of Faith, your family, how proud of you we are. We are so proud of you doing this. That is a heavy commitment to him and his family and his friends. Because selfishly, we're here his friends, missing someone that's going away. Ben has done some amazing things that you don't know about. We had this beautiful group of young adults. But I'm thankful that they were attracted to this man and joining him in his church where he is. Because they are growing and they are thriving. And so I thank you for that continued light. You know, if light leaves this place and goes someplace else and lights other lights, that's great. What worries me is if light leaves this place, it's snuffed out or blown out. He has continued to carry that light outside of these four walls and with other people. So we're going to pray over you, Ben. I'm going to anoint you. If you would stand with me and just reach your hands out to Ben, if you feel compelled, come up here and pray over him as well, though, because I don't want to keep you back from praying over him personally. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help guide. To help guide Ben. Lord, to protect him. Lord, to protect his work. The work of your Son, Jesus Christ. The light, the word that he's taken into lost people. God, we are proud of Ben. We are thankful for his awakening and a hunger that he has that says, I need and want to go other places. God, I'm thankful for his light that drew people from here, that kept them connected to the gospel of Jesus Christ and our young adults. God, I pray right now that you are preparing the people of Madagascar. Lord, you are giving them a hunger, something they don't know. But Lord, they have a hunger. God, I pray now that you're preparing those people and others that those people will connect to in the future. God, we pray that your word is protected as it goes with Ben, that his life is protected as he goes with you. Lord, that you light the way, that you guide his footsteps. Lord, we pray that you're with those people that he goes with. Lord, for protection over them. We pray for more people to be exposed. Be exposed to the Word of God. God, we thank you for your Word that says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God, we pray today that you would lift up Ben. God, we pray our blessing on him. We pray your blessing on him. You would be with him when he wakes, when he sleeps, when he works throughout the day.